at the tone of the time movie.
There it is.
Call the meeting to order. We'll have our pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Gaylor?
Here.
Crunch?
Here.
Needhammer? Sansom?
Here.
Town?
Here.
Quorum present?
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that we excuse Commissioner Needhammer from attending the March 27th regular City Commission meeting.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Next item is our consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask at any time items on the consent agenda be removed and placed on the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. And we have four items today.
I'll move to accept the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Crunch?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. At this time, hearing citizens' comments on non-agenda items, do we have anyone in the audience that wishes to address the commission? Mark?
I'm Mark Contrucci. I operate Mark Seuss Trees Nursery and Landscape in Des Moines City. And this is in regard to the surprise $500 dump fee that is being assessed to all the landscapers in town. I spoke with four different landscape companies since I talked with Andy last week about it. And we all agree that a fee is understandable. There's a machine over there, there's someone to operate the machine, maintenance is necessary. No one objects to the idea of a fee to use the dump. We all do not like the idea that $500 uniform fee is being assessed, no matter how big the company. I'm in there maybe with a yard, 2 yards at the most of material once a month until it gets to leaf season. Then I'm in there almost every day. But it seems there should be a better way to do this than assessing a fee that large this early in the season on everyone, no matter what size operation they have. Possibly looking at tax records, seeing what gross incomes are for companies, and develop a sliding scale of some sort. I'll leave that to you guys to figure out. But we'd like to see a system we think is more fair to all of us. Again, we don't mind paying the fee at all. Andy was very good about talking to me about that and explaining the situation. Also, if you could assess the fee in, say, July rather than in March, when a lot of us are pretty broke. I mean, someone there's a lot more liquid cash moving around for us, much easier for us to pay it then. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. I got to get back to work. Excuse me.
Do we have anyone else in the audience that wishes to address the commission on a non-agenda item? Okay, our next item is correspondence. Cindy, do you have something to present to the board today?
Should have been attached, just what was attached with your agenda, and that's just basically the schedule outlining the procedures for completing the budget adoption for fiscal year 2013. So if you have any questions on that one.
Thank you. I do not have any correspondence. Mike, do you have any correspondence to share with the commission?
No, nothing further on that. And again, just going back to Cindy's memo to the commission, that's the proposed schedule. I mean, we could go to the April 10th meeting, and if issues come up either in the public hearing or things like that, we could put back the actual adoption until, you know, like the April 24th meeting.
Okay.
So there is some flexibility in there, but that's what's being proposed at this point. And it is completely within charter guidelines, and I think there's actually a week or so that we'd still have to work with in that.
We have, within charter guidelines, we have to the third week of May to actually adopt.
Which is kind of strange since it's after the budget's already in place.
Mm-hmm.
Fully operational.
Derek, Jane, or Laura, anything?
No.
No question.
Okay, city manager's report.
A few items. The commissioners have at their place, and we have up on the board behind us the goals that were adopted at the last city commission meeting for our reference as we go through the next couple of years until we have that process. So just want to bring that to everybody's attention. Kind of following on Mark's comments, we're going to report that to date we have had five contractors who have registered to pay the fee to use the North Boeing compost facilities. That's $2,500 that's come in to help offset those costs. I provided the commission on the back of my memo a list of who has and who hasn't paid with regards to that. So we're going to keep an eye out there and kind of have our people up there at times that they might not expect us, so we can try and keep people honest. So, if you have been up there recently, you may have noticed that work has begun on the power gate that will basically close off the city storage area up at North Boeing. That work has begun and is expected to be completed in about 2 weeks. Our reconstruction planning process for the South Park Street reconstruction is well underway. We've had some meetings on that since our last city commission meeting, and I anticipate that we'd have draft plans available at this meeting at our April 10th version of this meeting. And then those will be formally presented to the Main Street Board on Thursday, April 12th at 8:30 a.m. The engineers will be here for that. Later on that day, we're going to have a public information session where we'll invite neighboring businesses and residents that are along the affected route to come and learn about the project, share with us their comments and concerns. We'll be putting out, and I brought a copy in case some of the commissioners might not have seen these out, our public meeting notice signs, which seem to get quite a bit of feedback or positive information with regards to it. Let people know that something's going on, and they can call us and we tell them exactly what's going on. You're welcome to attend any of these sessions. Like I said, I should have the meetings or the plans here available at our next meeting, so we can look those over if you're interested. And input from the public information meeting will be helped to finalize those plans. With the recent warm weather, we'll be starting our spring leaf pickups a little bit earlier than usual. We'll be starting them next Monday, April 2nd, and they'll be continuing on Mondays and Fridays only through April 30th. Again, then we'll do that, repeat that process in the fall. Just a reminder for everybody that the bags to be collected have to be craft paper bags. Those compost and break up with the leaves as they decompose. And the city itself no longer sells those bags, but we have a number of local and regional merchants that do, so there's a lot of sources for people to pick those up. Some at better cost than we were ever able to get them at. If you have any visitors to City Hall, whether it's a commission or otherwise, you might notice an extra copier in the general office. This loaner is being provided by our current service provider at no charge due to increasing maintenance need of our existing and still operating machine. They have indicated that they've had increased difficulty in obtaining replacement parts for our old machine. So, the commission will recall that that was an item that has been proposed in this upcoming budget as well, too. A reminder that we'll be closing our city offices on Good Friday at noon. That's April 6th for the Good Friday holiday. I'll be out of the office beginning the end of this week and remaining out of office until I return on Tuesday, April 10th. While I'll be away, Cindy will be in charge. A couple late-minute things to add to this. We're anticipating receiving a retrofitted ahead of our downtown streetlights with the LED fixtures that we talked about previously. We're anticipating that coming today. I hope that it was going to be here for the city commission meeting so you could take a look at it. Assuming that it does arrive, we'll be taking that and the other sample that we had in the North Conference Room a couple weeks ago out and installing them on Water Street, probably over by the Radio Shack on that block. So they'll go up, we'll let you know about that in an email, and then they'll be up for a couple weeks so we can get commission and public comment on that as well, too. So, also, just, I don't know if all the commission is aware of it, but there was a loss of a police officer in East Jordan to health reasons. He passed away the last couple days, and they'll be having a service for him this coming Thursday at 11 o'clock. We'll be sending representation from our police department as well. Just in case you see something going on or wondering why one of our cars might be in East Jordan, that would be the reason why. So if you need any more information on that, Craig might be able to fill you in on that. So that's what I have at this point. If you have any questions on any of these items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Any questions from the commissions?
On the spring leaf pickup, one question: is it Mondays on one side of the river and Fridays on the other side?
No, that's different for the rubbish collection that we do.
Okay.
For the leaf collection, it's throughout
citywide.
Town. Okay. The crews go and basically travel the streets and look for wherever people might have set out leaves.
All right. Okay. Wasn't real sure on that.
Sure.
Our next item of business today is reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. And we have our 2012 financial statement. Any questions from the commission?
I have nothing on
Derek,
that.
Any questions on the financial statement?
No, sir.
Okay. We'll move on then to unfinished business for Kirtland Products update. And I believe, Scott, are you prepared to handle that?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. The Citizens Committee met last Thursday at noon and had a conference call with UP Engineers to discuss their proposal. And then they met again at 6 o'clock on Thursday that evening to discuss the next steps that they wanted to take. They wanted to talk to Sentinel Systems. They didn't submit a formal RFP, but they did submit a letter of interest. And looking at a lot of the similar types of work they've done in this field, they thought they were worthy of talking to. So we've scheduled that for Thursday at 6. They also indicated that they would like to talk with the DEQ about the air emissions permitting process and answer questions there. So we're trying to schedule a representative from the DEQ to speak with the group, and hopefully at 5 on Thursday they'll be able to do that. They're trying to get that okayed right now. So. After the Thursday meeting, not really sure what recommendation they may make. They may choose one of the firms that they've talked to, or they may indicate to split the RFP up, go back out and seek bids on the specific components of the RFP. So I will know more after that meeting on Thursday.
Thank you, Scott. Do you have anything to add to that, Mike?
No, I do not.
Okay. Any staff members or department heads? Okay. Citizens' comments. Commission comments, Laura?
Just a question I keep being asked that I'm not sure what the answer is. Kirtland has not been in production for several weeks.
Correct.
And is that because they have enough stock or supply and they don't need to produce anymore, or is it because of equipment?
What Mr. Monley has indicated to the group is that their warehouse is full right now, okay, and they anticipate in 3 or 4 weeks they'll need to start up production again once the pre-buy orders start coming in to meet those orders.
Okay. And then they'll go back to the 3-day?
That was
most likely
the agreement that the 3-day.
Right, okay. All right.
Derek?
Another thing, Mayor.
Jane?
Just one. Did everyone on the committee get the tour while they were running or not?
I'm not sure if everyone has. There was a couple that was going to try to coordinate with Mr. Monley to get in, but so I'm not sure if everyone has seen it. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
I have no further questions, so we can move on to new business. Our first item is first reading of proposed ordinance amendment to allow chickens and a consideration of amendments to add Section 1 to Article 3 and Section H to Article 4 of the zoning ordinance and add an exclusion clause in Section 6 of the city animal ordinance to allow chickens in residential areas. Scott?
Thank you, Mayor. This fall, the Planning Commission was approached by several citizens, and they requested that they would like to keep chickens in residential areas and wondered if the Planning Commission could develop ordinance amendments that would allow that. After a lengthy discussion and debate by the Planning Commission, they decided that, this is something that they could propose and develop some language to allow that. They determined that to implement this, they would prepare draft ordinance amendments for the residential districts, the traditional residential district, and the rural estate district. That would be the darker yellow and the lighter yellow on the zoning map there. The restrictions would be to keep it to no more than 4 chickens. No roosters would be allowed. You'd have to have an enclosure or a coop in the backyard. The coop could be no more than 10 feet to a lot line. You would be able to slaughter chickens outside in the front yard. You'd have to maintain the, neat and tidy. You couldn't leave food or other things out that vermin could get to. And also, you would still be liable for any smells or noises or anything that would be produced by the chickens. So, the Planning Commission had a public hearing on this and recommended approval of it. This would require amendments to Section 3, and that would be adding Item I and Section 4, or Article 4, and that would be Section H. And it also take an amendment to the existing prohibition ordinance that basically says you can't have any type of farm animal in the city, and that's in the freestanding ordinance, and that would add an exclusion clause to that ordinance that would say chickens are allowed if allowed by other ordinances. So this is being brought to you for your the first reading and your consideration, and if you want, you can set it for a second reading, I believe, on May 8th.
Thank you, Scott. Yep. Do we have any staff members or department heads? Any further comment? Citizens' comments? I see a lot of smiles out there. Point City's best kept secret. Okay. Commissioners, Gene, would you like to start?
Well, I've read over the ordinance. I guess I have no problems with it.
Derek?
I'm not opposed to the proposed amendment. I would like to make sure that we receive ample input from our citizens before we move forward with this. I've talked to some folks that weren't aware that they were going to win, so. Other than the minor group that brought this forward, so.
And we got a 30-day window this before this is presented again. This would be the first draft or first proposal. Are you okay with going with the first proposal? That's enough time, another 30 days to... We could always table it for 30 days or postpone it, too. So, but this would get the ball rolling on it and set a date.
Do we have any plans for citizen notification beyond just the news media writing an article about it?
Not at this point.
Okay.
I'm anticipating this will get plenty of media coverage, both in the printed media and also probably in the things like the Chamber Main Street e-newsletter as well, too. So I'm sure the word's going to get out there.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm personally for this, but I want to make sure that all of our we get ample...
Get our ducks in a row and things.
A couple of geese and a few turkeys do it.
I guess if we saw that there wasn't much in the way of coverage with regards to it, I would think that then it'd be appropriate for it to take out an ad or something like that, because we always want to make sure that people have the opportunity to...
Sure, especially with, like, noise and smells and things like that.
Yeah.
You know,
no, when you said something was in the wind, I knew exactly what you were saying.
Noise and smell are a hot topic right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But, and all that's coming, so. Okay, that's all I have for right now. Thank you.
Laura?
Yeah. I've read through this several times, and I'm just, I don't know, I'm going to stick my neck out here. I'm not really pro chickens in the community. I'm sorry. I don't know what the feelings and sentiments are of the rest of the residents in the area, but I sure like to talk to a lot of people first. I mean, if you what's the purpose of bonding chickens in town anyway? I mean, is it to for eggs, or is it for you can't slaughter them outside? So you know, I don't want to live next. I was thinking about it this morning. I don't want to live next door to a neighbor who has four chickens that I get attached to as pets, and then realize they're on somebody's dinner table. It bothers me a lot. I like animals of all kinds. I really do.
Some people just like them in different ways.
But, I mean, you can buy chicken in the grocery store easily. It's not real expensive. Eggs. Pardon?
The local food.
Well, a residential area is one thing, and a farming area is another thing. I could probably be convinced that the areas in light yellow might be all right for that sort of thing within the city limits. But as you get into the dark yellow area, that's in the heart of our downtown. How many residents are going to be raising chickens? You know, it's if it's three or four, it's not a real big deal. But if it's like 300 people in town raising chickens, then that becomes something else to me. So I don't know. I think I'd like to have a lot more input from the community and the residents who live in a, you know, if you want to live on a farm, that's fine. If you want to, I don't know. I don't like the idea, I guess. And I'll just say that up front.
Good. I'm okay with the first draft proposal myself and, you know, putting this, you know, looking for an approval to, you know, bring it back the second meeting in April. The second council meeting in April, so before Tuesday, the 20 would be read again, but that would give time for more input. We should also have a full commission staff at that time, too. So I'd entertain a motion for...
I'll move the commission schedule a second reading for May 2012.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Sansom?
Go with aye. We can do a second reading.
Towns?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Mm-hmm. I vote, just means the second reading, right?
Doesn't commit you to anything.
Right, okay, because I'm still not.
It just moves the process forward and then we'll, you know.
Deal with it.
And hopefully get a lot more public input,
right,
as the number of commissioners have indicated as well.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, next item on the agenda is the Boyne City Housing Commission HUD agreement. Consideration to review the proposed recovery agreement and draft action plan from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Approve entering into a recovery agreement and authorize the city manager to sign it, subject to the parties finalizing an acceptable plan. This time, I'll turn it over to Mike. Go to Brenda from the.
I'll hit my memo first and then.
Okay.
I'm going to reference Brenda as well and other representatives. Provided for the City Commission's review and consideration is a communication that we received from the Housing Commission, their Executive Director Brenda, as the Mayor mentioned, with a proposed recovery agreement and draft action plan as being proposed by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. HUD. For some time now, HUD's been working with our Housing Commission to improve its operations, primarily procedurally and financially. First and foremost, from all accounts, the facilities that the Housing Commission oversees, Litzenberg Place, Deer Meadows, and numerous housing units in and around the city, are all very well maintained and good places to live. However, HUD has conducted several reviews over the past few years and determined that the Housing Commission, until recently, was not functioning in accordance with its policies and procedures. HUD, working with the Housing Commission, feels that very good progress has been made on resolving these outstanding issues and is looking to formalize its understandings with the Housing Commission and the city as its originating and appointing body, since we're the one that created the Housing Commission, to ensure that this progress continues and that any outstanding issues that may come up are resolved or are outstanding are resolved in a timely manner. The Boyne City Housing Commission, just for the Commission's reference, is specifically outlined in our Code of Ordinances, where it was created in Section 2-230. In about the last 18 months or so, HUD has been keeping the city updated, myself, previous Mayor Vondra, and current Mayor Crunch, on the outstanding issues involved and their progress in resolving them. During that time, there's been significant changes in both the staff and governing body of the Housing Commission. It's my firm belief that these changes and the actions of the Housing Commission has taken since then, and the seriousness with which the city supported the necessary changes, are large factors in the progress that HUD has seen and gives them encouragement that all the necessary steps remaining will be completed. While HUD desires the Housing Commission to resolve its own issues with minimum intervention from the city, if the need arises and the Housing Commission is either unable or unwilling to handle the matters before it, HUD would then call upon the city to intercede and help do what needs to be done. This understanding is one of the reasons that HUD would like us to be a party to the proposed recovery agreement. At their regular meeting last week, the Housing Commission approved the resolution that was attached in the Commission's agenda packet. That is now before us for our consideration. Prior to this matter coming before the City Commission, I sent it to our City Attorney's office where it was reviewed by Laura Dinan, who has been pretty much up to speed as we worked through working both for the city and for the Housing Commission, as we worked through the number of issues related to the Housing Commission and its operation. In her review of the documents, she found no requirements in the proposed agreement that would expand the city's responsibility beyond what they currently are. Basically, it's a reminder and to make sure that the way HUD portrays it, again, we're still liable for what's on there. We're liable anyway. It's kind of a reminder and a wake-up call to make sure that we're all taking this matter seriously. It's my understanding, and we do have representatives from the Housing Commission staff and its governing body here today that might be able to answer any questions that you have any on this matter or other issues involving the Housing Commission. Ultimately, it's my recommendation that the City Commission review the proposed housing agreement and the draft action plan that we received from HUD and approve entering into the recovery agreement and authorize the city manager to sign it, subject to the parties finalizing an acceptable action plan. The action plan as presented was a draft agreement. It was portrayed that way to HUD, and that's the same understanding the Housing Commission has as well, too. There may be some tweaking on that that goes on. So the two documents are related, but the recovery plan is the first step. And HUD knew that we might be conditioning our approval upon the ultimately resulting action plan as well. So, and you have obviously some options with regards to this matter. We can postpone it for further information or consideration. HUD would like to have this done as soon as possible, but there isn't anything critical that says it has to be done tonight. We could not approve or authorize the execution of the recovery agreement or other options as determined by the City Commission. But again, any options that we take also has options that HUD can take as well, too. And those go to up to, I mean, if they really thought things were falling apart up there and not being handled in a proper manner, they could basically take over the Housing Commission and operate it themselves. There's no sign of that whatsoever. Actually, I think our Housing Commission and what's going on here is kind of falling down their priority list as they see the way things are being handled here. And it kind of indicated to us that when they've dealt in situations where they've had to approach communities and housing commissions where they've had areas of concern, they wished all of them responded like Boyne City has, and the Housing Commission has. They've indicated to us that they would like to use this as a model of the way to do things to deal with issues as they arise. So from that standpoint, we'd prefer not to have the issues at all and not to, you know, have the Housing Commission have to work through some of these issues. But again, once these matters were brought to everybody's attention and the seriousness of them, HUD has been very pleased with how everybody's responded. So I guess that's the end of my comments. I'd be glad to answer any questions you have. Again, we have Chuck and Brenda here that would be glad to answer any questions you might have on this matter.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Brenda or Chuck, one of you wish to speak first? Or
I kind of feel like Mike covered it. Basically, HUD is just requiring that the Housing Commission take particular actions. The reason that they're asking the city to sign is because the city appoints our board to basically run the Housing Commission. So that's the only obligation that we feel that the city has in the action plan itself. The rest of it's up to us, and we've been making giant leaps toward improving that.
Thank you, Brenda. Chuck?
Sure, thank you. This process has been going on, I would guess, for about a year, Mike?
At least, yeah.
Time you and I first met with the crew from HUD. In that time frame, there has been a lot of changes that have happened. Brenda's our acting director right now, along with some policies and how we as a housing commission operate. And that was done, obviously, before the action plan was discussed or penned out. Much of the action plan, I don't know if the board has the action plan.
Yes.
A lot of the action plan has been either implemented or start to be implemented already, which is great because we've taken action on a lot of these items. The action plan is a negotiable item with HUD. The only reason that we haven't, as a board, as a housing commission, approved that yet because we haven't had a deep discussion on the action plan. So it's not because of anything that's wrong or we can't complete anything, but we feel as a board need to discuss it with the Housing Commission board and our director to make certain everybody's on the board. So it's not indicative of anything other than we haven't discussed it yet. So the processes are in place. The fixes are either have been started or being started. So I think we're on the right track. We just want to make sure that when we sign this action plan, that we can absolutely complete the plan, because if you cannot, that's when you get held accountable. And as Mike stated, the Housing Commission has fallen out of priority for HUD, but not for us. So we want to fix it sooner rather than later. Obviously, by our actions, we've done those things. So, but the action plan hasn't been approved because we haven't talked about it. That's the only reason. If you have any questions, I'd gladly answer.
Thank you, Chair.
You're welcome.
I should just bring up for information, as we went through the process and worked with HUD when Chuck was mayor, Chuck was not a member of the Housing Commission at that time. We had an opening that took place after Chuck left his position as mayor, and I asked Chuck, based with his knowledge on what we've been dealing with over the number of months, and you know, just knowing Chuck and his efficiencies in getting things done. I thought he'd be a great appointment to the Housing Commission. And thankfully, from my standpoint, I'm not sure about he or his family, he said yes. So I just wanted to make sure that the commission knew that, I mean, Chuck is a new member of the Housing Commission. I see him as part of the solutions that we're working with as all these pieces start to come together with regards to it. And kind of help some continuity with regards to what we've learned from HUD at the beginning and help carry that across on the board as well, too. And also, I think most of the commissioners know that previously, Mayor Grunsch, before he was mayor, was a member of the Housing Commission, but HUD has advised us subsequent to that that they prefer not to have active members of our boards or commissions or city staff sitting on the Housing Commission directly. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of, they want us to be aware of everything that's going on up there, but as I mentioned in my memo, they kind of want us to let them succeed and work their issues out unless things really need to intersect. Unless they really need to be dealt with, then we're kind of a fallback position.
Thank you, Mike. Do we have any comment from staff members? Department heads? Citizens? Is there any citizens' comments? Okay, now we'll go to the board. Derek, would you like to start?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As Mike had mentioned earlier, in the end, ultimately, we are responsible for what happens there. So I have clearly support signing this document. It's been cleared through legal. That would be one of my first concerns there. And also, it's imperative that we remain financially sustainable for the citizens that we serve in those properties. And I would say, looking back and how we got here, only for the fact that we learned from our mistakes and how we got there, mm-hmm. and reflect on those as we move forward. Not to dwell on the past and who it was or what wasn't done or what was done, mm-hmm. But through this action plan and the hard work and dedication of the current board, continue to move forward and make progress to get them back financially where they need to be, primarily again for the citizens, and then they can also begin to financially remunerate the city for their obligations as well. So I think it's a good process. I appreciate the hard work of everybody involved in that, and in the end, it's our citizens that are served by that that will ultimately benefit from a strong fiscal situation. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura?
Yeah, there's 10 items on this list of results from the assessment that have to be met. How long of a time frame do you think before you achieve all of those? Because that's quite a list. I know you said you started all of them or implemented any kind of a time frame, a goal of accomplishing?
That's one of the discussions we have to have with Brenda and the board.
Okay.
Although I think the track we're on, we could go into discussion if you'd like, tell you know, some of the things that we've done, but
right.
Much of that has been started and or implemented, including the refinancing effort, because there's an 8.5% interest loan on Deer Meadows, and we've got a couple options for that still pending, correct, Brenda?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's two that we're working on. I think we've paid the city back $50,000 or $60,000 in the last month. Something like that.
Okay.
On some revenues, and the bigger problem wasn't there was no issues of that I can see of missing money or it's the commingling or crossing of monies from one pot of money to the next, which is the problem.
Okay.
So we're straightening that out and putting money back where it needs to go in certain line items that can't be crossed or mixed or paid for out of a different line item. That was our biggest. The two biggest financial issues are the cost of the loan and the crossing or commingling of the money, which was absolutely no fraud or taking that money.
Okay.
It just wasn't aligned where it should have been.
Yeah.
So we're getting those things
straightened out.
Okay. And in short order, to be frank, that in the last couple of months, I believe that we've been able to accomplish those things. So that's...
Okay, so HUD is basically fairly flexible on a time frame?
Yes.
Okay, as long as you're showing movement, moving forward and accomplishing?
It is negotiable, which
okay,
is,
all right.
We want to make certain that whatever we agree to, we can absolutely complete.
Okay.
I think that we can do those things.
All right.
But I think the board needs to discuss that before we recommend that that's approved.
Okay.
As you may note on some of the action plan that's provided to you, there's a column that has basically the target achievement date that they have in there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are blanks.
Right.
That's one of the areas that will have to be filled out.
Okay.
And basically come up with something that works. And what we can do is once that action plan is something that the Housing Commission and HUD and we basically look at it and approve, I can bring that back to the commission so you can see what those dates are too and kind of keep a little ticklers on to
all
make
right.
sure that... making it or check in to make sure that they're making progress that they need to.
Okay. I guess that's okay. Basically mine. Okay.
I have no questions. I've read it over. I'm in agreement with it. I'm okay with it.
My only question goes to item number 2 in the third column there where it says board identifies members to specialize in reviewing financial reports and providing feedback about financing. I guess my question be to Brenda or Chuck, whoever wished to answer it, is has HUD provided you a financial person to help work your way through this or undo this financial engineering, or do you think you could do it in-house without their support? You know, or having to go outside and spend money on a CPA that specializes in HUD financing and operations?
We have a fee accountant who specializes in HUD finances that's very helpful. And then we have someone on our board whose specialty, her job basically, is in tax finances, so she's very familiar with financial reports. She used to work in banking. So between the two, that's where we've made huge progress.
We've also, the audit firm Brenda recommended, we obviously ended up hiring to do our annual audits. We have asked for a microscopic type audit and negotiated some counsel on that as well into the fee price that we have pretty much unlimited access to ask the questions that we need. We negotiate that into a standard agreement to try to get something for nothing, to be honest with you. You're last with that. But it seems to be working well.
Thank you. That was my only question, and I'm in favor of the ratification, and if our commissioners would wish to make a motion to ratify this, or accept it.
I'll move that the City Commission review the proposed recovery agreement and draft action plan from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Approve entering into the recovery agreement, authorize the city manager to sign it, subject to the parties finalizing an acceptable action plan.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Grunge?
Aye.
Sanson?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you all.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is a request for letters of support, consideration to review the information from Charlevoix County Parks Manager Ross Maxwell regarding the undertaking of a second phase of the Boyne City Charlevoix Road non-motorized trail. The purchase of 72.4 acres of property adjacent to Whiting Park, obtained public input on those matters, and after considering all information received, considered authorized staff to prepare letters supporting the projects and authorize the city manager and city clerk treasurer to sign them on behalf of the city. At this time, I will call on our city manager to start the discussion.
Well, I think the mayor just reported covers most of my memorandum to the commission. Obviously, we've been working on the trail project closer to town between the city, actually starting in the city, and going just beyond Young State Park, the Boyne City Charlevoix Road, for a number of years. We've actually agreed to be one of the grant suppliers for the road funds from MDOT. Offer our support and matching funds with regards to that project as well, too. From my perspective, as important as that is, the larger value of that project is once it's actually a through path that has the potential to tie us in with the wheelway between Charlevoix and Petoskey and points beyond. That connection, I think, is much more significant to help make sure that Boyne City doesn't miss out on being part of all these trails and means for recreational activities that are sprouting up all over northern Michigan. So I think that's very important. And I also mentioned in my memorandum that, from my perspective, again, Whiting County Park is just a great regional asset. We have lots of people from our community that use it, whether they are people that are here year-round or visitors or whatever. From the people that go to the swim school that we help support to learn how to swim out at Whiting Park, to people that go out and camp at Whiting Park and come into town and visit our shops and our businesses and fall in love with the area and move into this region as well, too. Or if it's just, you know, a family that wants to go and, you know, take their kids out there for a bike ride or whatever from the town. There's a lot of interactions between us and having an asset like Whiting out there. So I think, again, we have to get more specifics on the proposed property acquisition from Ross and what they're looking at. But I, you know, as I went in my memo, I'd almost go as far as, you know, depending on, or almost irregardless of whether they can get a grant or not, I think this is something that the county should be seriously looking at, because I think it'll not only strengthen Whiting State Park and the county park system, but it has spillover benefits for Boyne City and the other neighboring communities as well. So with that being said, Mayor, I don't think I have anything further to add at this point.
Okay.
Turn it back to you.
We'll turn the discussion over to Mr. Maxwell. Okay.
Thank you, Mike. We're looking at a DNR Trust Fund grant for the 72-point acres of Mr. Butler Trust property. Mr. Frank Butler approached the county to see if we would be interested in it. And we have 2,700 feet of contiguous property line right here. And you can, this is all Whiting Park, the campground, the buildings, and the log cabin here. This is our new day use, accessible day use area here, public beach. We canoe kayak launch down at this end. We're working, hopefully in the future, to a boat launch in here with parking across the street. This gives us from here, this gives us approximately a mile and a half of Ridge Road. And it's absolutely beautiful forest. There are some open areas here. Beautiful views. This whole ridge is really high up here. And you can see unobstructed views of Boyne City across Lake Michigan. And if you open it up a little bit, you could see over this way too. And the grant's for $306,000 with a 30% match from the county, which would be $91,800. Now, the property has to appraise. You know, we don't know what for sure what it's going to appraise for. The SEV value or the taxable value, when you double it, is about $281,000. So, but the state requires it to be appraised and the county too. The county commissioners did approve to proceed with the grant. Next year will be Whiting Park's 90th. Anniversary. This property, Whiting Park, was donated to the county in 1923 by Mr. Perry Whiting, original homesteader's son. And just some of the, skiing, cross-country skiing and hiking trails, or in the future use of the property, with the, who knows what's going to happen in advance after the condos are built in that area to grow. This is about 8/10 of a mile from Advance, and it also gives us 8/10 of a mile across the backside of the park here also. Mm-hmm. We also, beautiful, the forest management has just been, since 1968 on Whiting Park, It's beautiful. We do forest management once in a while. We do the same with Butler property, if that's what the commissioners want to do. Are there any questions?
Were you going to also talk about the trail?
Yes. Yeah, just anything on Clayton
Park? I guess the only question I would have is if you do acquire that property, there would be a potential for like a lookout similar to Avalanche, maybe on top of one of those, top of one of the hills?
Yes. In fact, there was a, right here, there used to be a fire tower in the cement post.
But I mean like a walk-up where you pointed for the views?
Yes, a lookout pavilion. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, as far as say, well, for camping, but for educational, for hiking, right, for skiing, right, for snowmobiling. You can stay down below the ridge to walk for skiing, cross-country skiing or walking, and work your way back up. And this is real high, and then come all the way across and down.
Okay.
And all the other trails will all be marked. And
okay.
This is the, we know about this, phase one of the Boyne City to Charlevoix Trail, and the funding has been approved through MDOT and the DNR Trust Fund grant for $954,000. And that could possibly begin in spring of 2013. So this is our, we're trying to stay away from phase two. This is our expansion of the Boyne City to Charlevoix Trail. And it would be, and this is a conceptual drawing, this is Little Traverse Wheelway right here. Mm-hmm. And it would tentatively come across US 31, be detached, follow the right-of-way, and then cross the Boyne City-Charlevoix Road a ways from the intersection. I mean, we all know what that intersection is like at US 31 and Boyne City-Charlevoix Road. And then detached trail along to Camp Siegel. Now Hayes Township's going after Camp Siegel with the DNR Trust Fund acquisition grant, and that I think that is about $4.5 million. We don't know what's going to happen there, but if that does happen, we will really have something when this trail is complete from Charlevoix to Camp Siegel, the Horton Bay, Park of the Pines, Young State, and the Boyne City. Mm-hmm. We'll connect it off for the recreation opportunities and economic development. And later on, I mean, there are trail town concepts too. Boyne City could be a trail town, Charlevoix. They have them over the country, but that's something for later on down the road. But this project's $2,900,000. We have $2,200,000 from the MDOT Transportation Enhancement Grant, $300,000 from the trust fund grant. Charlevoix Township is matching $11,000. Hayes Township is matching $39,000. Now, private money that we have to raise is $350,000, which is going to take some work.
Okay. Thank you, Ross.
Okay, thank you.
We probably have some more questions for you. We're going to go to staff members and department heads if they have any questions at this time. Again, the purpose of this presentation is the request for letters of support from our city. So, okay. Any citizen comments?
I'm Michael Sheehan from Boyne City here. I'd like to support this in a very strong way. We've been very supportive of getting the first phase, the unextended portion, I guess you want to call it, off the ground and flying. And we'd like to see this extended next step proceed as outlined here. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing for the whole community. I think your comments covered the economics and the benefit to the community quite happily. So I'd like to voice very strong support. I do represent a 160-member group that would be very much in support of this as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Mr. Bowman?
Jim Bowman, Boyne Area Chamber of Commerce. I would like to agree with all the comments about both projects. I think they're both very worthy and would would improve the area as a, for recreation and economic development. And the Chamber's been asked to give a letter of support for this also, and we will be doing that. So I urge you to support the support letter. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to comment?
Just, and the county commissioners did approve to proceed with this grant.
Okay. Commission members, Laura?
I'm in full support. I think it's a great opportunity to expand Whiting's Park, especially that's really a neat thing to happen. And I'm really behind that one. Also, for any time we can expand our trail system and connect to other communities, I think that's a great bonus for the community. So,
thank you. Derek?
Here's going to be a shocker. Personal feelings versus elected official Boyne City representative feelings. Clearly, Boyne City is... approved the trail from Boyne City and Young State Park, which obviously will benefit directly the citizens of Boyne City, and that was regarding access that we had direct control over as a commission for voting on that. As far as anything in the county, I would prefer that we allow that and leave that to the township boards and the county board to make their final decision. And that's not a naysay against the actual project. As far as an official letter of support from Boyne City, I think that as far as the Boyne City Commission, I would not be in favor of that proposal. That's it.
Okay. Gene?
I guess anytime we can expand our parks, I would be in support of it. Also support of other project. You may have mentioned it, but I probably missed it. With the property that's going to be expanded, would that be logged off?
That would be up to the Parks Committee and then the county. It will, if it's, it would totally up to Parks Committee and the county commissioners. Will it be logged off to... If that is that a contingency on buying the property? No.
Okay. The expansion of the property, that's all accessible by road?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, besides the Whiting Park trailheads, Ridge Road goes all the way around it.
Okay.
And I just forgot to say also, East Jordan City Council also approved unanimously a letter of support.
That's all I got.
Okay, thank you, Jay. I'm in support of this request, and I just have one question. The first phase that's scheduled to go from Boyne City to Springwater Beach, when is that tentatively to get started?
Once the money's appropriated from the legislature, I don't believe it has yet, but possibly begin spring of 2013 and finishing it in the end of the end of the summer or that fall.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the, you know, the container. It's all up to appropriations, so.
Yes.
I'll entertain a motion for board member to make one.
I move that the City Commission authorize staff to prepare letters supporting the project and authorize the city manager and city clerk / treasurer to sign them on behalf of the city.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Gaynor?
No.
Grunch?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Ross.
Thank you.
Russ, when do you need those letters by?
Friday.
Last Friday or next Friday?
I know. Okay, yeah, just, you know.
Everybody looks at Barb.
I was afraid to.
Okay. Our next item today is the Hanna Street Engineering Services. Consideration to approve a contract with C2AE for design, bidding, and construction engineering services for the Hanna Street construction project in the amount of $51,200 and authorize the city manager to sign the required documents. And I believe that I'll turn this over to Andy to start the presentation.
Thank you, Mayor. The commission should have before them my memorandum on the subject and a copy of a proposal from C2AE to complete this work. We've been looking at this street for a while, and it's getting in really, really bad shape, as most of you are probably aware. Just a quick recap of what we're planning there. It's going to be we're planning to do a curb and gutter street, which would include storm sewer, underground drainage to help with the high water table in the area, and a lot of what's been causing issues to that street currently. Replace the current water main with the new plastic main, and we would also include sidewalks on both sides of the street. Larry Fox from C2AE is here. If anybody has any questions, I'd like to ask him regarding this.
Okay. Mr. Fox, would you like to chime in on any of this?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good to see you again. Andy covered it well. There's quite a bit of detail in the proposal. We were able to do soil borings and the topo survey previously. It's been completed. I think we've got a pretty good solid handling of what the subsurface conditions are up there, which are not good, but it's reflected in the cost estimate, so I have really nothing else to add other than answer questions.
Okay, thank you. Department heads?
The only comment I'd add would be that street's adjacent to Rotary Park and the new development going up in North Boyne. It's going to see a lot more traffic than it may have in the past, and it's, at this point, one of the worst roads in the city.
Thank you, Dan. Do we have any other staff members or department heads wish to comment? Citizen comments. Chris
Christensen, 111 East Pine. I'd like to see some consideration for sidewalks along Vogel. Just speaking specifically to what Dan mentioned is, I've got a kid that goes up there for softball practice, soccer, and everything else, and it's great to have the sidewalk on State Street, but with the increased traffic on Vogel, if you could get a sidewalk at least to the entrance of Rotary Park, much like they have off the State Street side, I think that if you can work it in, because you'd just be cornering off Hannah right there anyway, I think it would be something to take a good look at.
Thank you. Any other citizens' comments? Okay. Board discussion? Gene, you want to start?
Well, I have no questions on it. I think we should move forward with this.
I'm wondering if my memory serves me right. The brook was going to provide some stretch of sidewalks at their cost.
Yes.
It was just determining where those sidewalks would go is what I remember.
Correct.
Okay, so that would maybe solve what you just brought up.
It would start to
at least
partially address.
Partially, yeah. Maybe not the whole entire thing, but at least it would be a partial part of that. I think there's a lot of support out there in the community to redo Hanna Street. A lot of people have said that would be a good project, and it does need to be done, and especially with the new brook, and Rotary Park is used quite a lot, so I think everyone's in full support of that. I can move forward with it.
Thank you, Laura.
Yeah.
Derek?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Andy, quick question. Do we have any other bids besides C2AE for the project?
No, we do not.
Did we put it out for bid for other people?
No, we
for other firms?
it's been agreed to by the commission in the past that C2A, at least until some point in time that has not been determined yet, is our engineer of record. And we went with that as our direction to go.
Is that correct? We're bound by C2AE for all engineering projects?
No, we're not.
Is it a letter of understanding or?
No. Okay.
It's been the understanding, and this topic has been discussed several times with previous city commissions and asked with regards to it. And we've had Larry come in and review his rates and his costs and things of that nature, the pros and cons of going out for bids and things of that nature. And the commission's position at that point was, continue to use them as long as they're providing good services. We check their percentages to make sure that they're consistent and not getting to be excessive, things of that nature. And basically for the, they felt that we were getting good service for the cost, and it's been a beneficial relationship to maintain it. Are we bound to use them for anything? Mm-hmm. No, we could use anybody else at any time if we so chose to do it.
Sure. Yeah. Not taking their questioning their abilities in any way, shape, or form, just mm-hmm. on large projects. I think it would, I know the county does it for road projects in the state. Mm-hmm. More opportunities. We went out for bids for the curb repair project as well, just to, so we can tell the citizens that that's a fair and open process, would be my only comment on that.
Yeah, there's a differentiation in the charter and in state law with regards to professional services, which this is considered.
Sure.
Same things apply to, you know, auditors or legal services or things of that nature versus a contractor like the concrete bids or things of that nature. So there are some differentiations.
So
it gives you the ability to do it. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have to bid it out or you, mm-hmm. you can't bid it out. That's still the option of the community at some point. And the direction the staff has been given up to this point is basically we're fine with C2AE. At some point the commission says we want to go out for bid again, that's an option available to us.
Okay. As far as the actual Hannah Street project itself, obviously we already approved the soil borings. My stated philosophy is that we earmark the most needed roads and address those as time goes on, and you know, through that process, curb and guttering, and do everything correct mm-hmm. along the way. So, okay, that's my only comment. Question,
Gene. I think you started with me, but like I said,
No, I already went on this, so that's fine.
Back to you.
Yeah.
I'm supportive of the proposal that's in front of us here, and I feel that C2A, you know, has done a great job following up not only with us but the citizens and project management. As commissioners, when we go to these MML conferences, and there's probably 15 or 20 engineering firms, you know, that take care of the municipal governments, you know, for projects and stuff like this. It, I think, you know, we have a pretty good handle on it, at least in the past, and I think we still do as far as, you know, the actual cost of doing business, you know, whether you're saving money or not saving money, you know, bidding it out. So it, it having a reputable firm that's done us a good job, I'm happy to on board with them at this time. And I will accept a motion to approve this for commission.
And before we do that, just one quick thing. C2AE, we've, just for Derek's benefit maybe,
sure.
Being I was a new commissioner at one point, like
yes,
you,
yes.
And I know I had the same questions and the same concerns as you did, and as the process went along, and I realized that C2AE has been very reputable and they've done a really good job, and the rates have been in line with everyone else in the area. They also have a real knowledge of the history of this community and what's been done in the past and where things are located, and that also helps facilitate getting a project finished and done in a timely way. So that's kind of changed my opinion from when I was first started, thinking everything should be bid out, but I've agreed that now I feel different about it. So if that makes sense, maybe helps a little bit from my perspective to you.
Okay. Appreciate that. If I could, Mr. Mayor, just follow up on there. Mike had indicated the legal requirement of the difference between a professional service, which can be merely chosen, say a no-bid contract versus a bid contract. I just want to make sure that you know, we can look at the citizen and tell them, yes, we are absolutely being good stewards with their money, and that, you know, that there's no perceived, you know, influence or anything like that in one way or the other. So that's my only concern on that.
Yeah, I think staff has tried to be very cautious that C2E never gets the opinion that they're entitled to our work or they can take us for granted or anything of that nature. We try and make sure that they keep their pencil sharp, and they always have been. As a number of the commissioners have said, we've gotten very good performance out of them. And to be candid, I think they've been an important part of the reason why we've been successful in as many grants that we've been able to get, because we don't have problems with our projects. And that's not something that you find with every engineering firm. There's a lot of communities that don't have the continuity and the history, and they have to reinvent the wheel all the time, and that can sometimes bring in some hidden costs. But I also look at the money that they've helped us bring to the table with regards to that. And looking at that, their performance and their rates altogether, I'm comfortable to talk to anybody with regards to, you know, why we aren't bidding this out on a more regular basis. I just point to the successes that we have and the continued performance we continue to get out of these guys.
Okay. Last question, then we'll move on. Have we been approached by, like, Northwest Design Group or anybody else that has the ability to do municipal engineering?
Yes, I talk to them on a regular basis.
Okay.
They come in, people in the area, people at regional firms, statewide, national, all that type of stuff.
Sure.
And to be candid, when they're talking to me, you know, there's kind of almost like a dual equation that I can see going on in their heads. One, they would really like to get our business.
Sure.
And two, they would wish more of their clients that they had good relationships, had the relationship that they, so they would like to get our business, but on the other hand, if they were in C2AE's position, they'd be hoping the same thing, that their performance and their track record with us would count for something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they don't push too hard.
Okay, so you've had no formal objections or any issues with
no.
the city continuing C2AE?
No, and I mean, same thing, you know, as the mayor mentioned, you know, going to the Michigan Municipal League conferences or to some of my city managers' conferences, I'm interacting with those people all the time. And you know, a lot of them are good friends, and I'll, you know, talk to folks from, you know, Wade Trim or Hubbard Roth and Clark or, you know, UP Engineering or whatever the case is. And we have a good give and take and all that type of stuff. So if there ever was an issue that we did need to make a change, I'd be the first to bring it to your attention. But again, we still have all those options. Those are always on the table.
Okay. All right.
And the local knowledge and some of the pre-engineering has been just like in our last meeting that we received that dig grant for $503,000. That it took quite a package to be put together, you know, as far as outlining the, you know, the cost, just the costing of it, and we were successful. It's just phenomenal. I guess that's the basis, in a way, of the local information in inheriting not hiring, but considering them your engineer of record or project engineers. So I'm quite happy with them, personally.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's all.
Motion.
I'll make the motion to recommend that the City Commission approve this contract with C2AE for design, bidding, and construction engineering services in the amount of $51,200 and authorize the City Manager to sign the required documents. Funds for this.
Go ahead.
Well, funds for this work are available. I'm going to go through the local streets in our budget, so. Okay.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Grunch?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, next item on the agenda is curb repair bids. Consideration to approve a contract with Marshall Concrete for up to $40,000 to repair areas of damaged curb and authorize the city manager to execute the document. And I believe this goes to Andy again to start the discussion.
Thank you, Mayor. Once again, you'll have my memo on this subject in front of you. And there also should be a memo outlining some of the areas that we identified as needing replacement. Two local contractors returned bids for this project, Ryan Brothers Concrete and Marshall Concrete. They've both done work on projects in the city on our concrete curb systems as part of projects. Both have done excellent work. Don't have a problem recommending either one of them to complete this work. However, Marshall Concrete was a low bidder on this one. We'd like to use them, but also I might add that we budgeted $40,000 in the local street maintenance, or the major street maintenance fund, to complete this work this year. And we're requesting permission to do that up to a $40,000 balance, which would leave us a balance of work left to complete, which we would bid out and do again the following year to finish that up. So any other questions, we'd be happy to answer.
Thank you, Andy. Mike, do you have any comments?
Well, all the curb damage was not done in 1 year, and that's why I'm comfortable not necessarily repairing it in front of 1 year. We have a lot of other projects and expenditures we'd like to do. What I'd like to be able to say, yeah, let's just spend the whole $57,000 and get it done. But I think this is a big step forward with regards to it. We'll deal with the most visible and the worst case scenarios first, up to that $40,000 limit. And then depending on how our budget goes in the future years, we'll look to do it either in the subsequent years, or maybe wait a year or two and then build up another group that we want to do. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any department heads or staff members wish to comment? Citizens' comments.
Scott. Scott McKenzie, 847 West Division. I think it's great that we're going to be repairing this. But my frustration is the amount of time, the effort, and the expense we went through in the last 10 years to do all of this streetscape, these beautiful curbs. And I guess my frustration is maybe we needed to do some training or something. I look at the bump outs and the curves and the design work done at Petoskey. I don't see curbs gouged out. Maybe we have some kind of a friendly neighborhood rodeo plowing contest where we get some skill sets that we don't go ahead and repair this and then have to do it again the next year.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Scott.
It's just very frustrating to me to see how much time and effort we put in and then in such a short span of time they got gouged up.
Mm-hmm. Likewise, mm-hmm. I agree with you. Any other citizens wish to comment? board members? Gene, would you like to start?
Well, I also agree with Scott. I rode around and looked at some of this damage. And like Scott said, it's corners, island, sidewalks, it sticks out. I guess my question is there any special equipment that you could be using in this area, or do you already do that?
Well, we've gone to some different types of protectors on our plows that have seemed to make a big difference in the way things are. You know, there's no damage like to Division Street, for instance. We've gone, we're using the ends on the plows. We've also, you know, the crew has stayed out away from the curbs as much as possible to minimize damage or impacts. I didn't see anything happen on Division Street that I'm aware of this year yet, so that seems to be helping out. And it may be also we'll need to look at different ways of doing, like the downtown, for instance, with all the bump outs. That's it's kind of tough to get in and out with those with the big trucks.
Right.
And we may have to look at possibly doing some things different with our smaller trucks and some different type of plowing attachments for those. But, and that's something we look at constantly, is better ways to do what we do and safer ways to do it. So.
Yeah, that was just my question. I'd like $40,000 if we're going to have to do this every so often. That's going to amount to a lot of money down the road. That's all I got.
Derek?
Just echo the citizen's comments and Commissioner Cowan. This certainly will not be funded on an annual basis to this level to fix a problem that probably can be avoided. I do like the idea of perhaps using a pickup or whatever, something smaller that can allow you more finer detail around those bump outs and islands and things like that. So let's get it fixed where it needs to be and keep it that way. That's it.
Thank you. Laura?
Yeah, I agree. We don't need to be spending money to repair curbs, but I have a couple of questions. First of all, the Marshall Concrete one, which is $43 a foot, linear foot, and the Ryan Brothers was $71 linear foot. Why the extreme cost difference in that estimate? Is it the quality of the concrete? Is it the quality of the work? Is it something that I'm not seeing? Because I don't understand why the discrepancy being so large. Do you have any idea on that?
Well, I can fathom the guess, Laura.
Okay.
It's beginning of the season, which is why we decided to rebid this. You know, we weren't really satisfied with the pricing last year.
Okay.
Just so you know, the last bid we bid this out, Marshall didn't bid, but Ryan was a low bid.
Right.
A couple of bids we had that time. I think, like I said, it's beginning of season. Marshall Concrete wants to get his guys working, get them started, get things going.
Okay.
He's confident he can do it for that price.
Okay. And he did a nice job. I mean,
And he does fantastic work. I won't take that away from him. He just feels he can do it for this price.
Okay. Looking at this map, if we're going to be doing Park Street, we might want to skip doing that intersection this year. Is that because wouldn't those bump outs on Park Street be part of the Park Street?
It depends where they're at, Larry. I mean, we'll obviously look at that and adjust what we're doing according to that. Larry and I will definitely have a conversation.
Okay, because that might be picked up in that area. Okay. I guess I don't have anything else that I was thinking about. I know. Here's the other thing. You mentioned Petoskey with not noticeable gouges in there. Maybe we should check and see what they're doing with their equipment or what kind of protectors they might be using that, you know, makes that happen there and not here. I mean, maybe you know, already know that, but that might be a good place to check.
I haven't spoken to them about what they did this year.
Yeah, maybe check with them and see what they've done and why they can make it work. Yeah, okay. Go on.
They do a lot, and especially in their downtown, they do use a lot of smaller equipment. I think they picked up some additional equipment after they did that road project so they could handle a lot of those ins and outs and the islands and things like that.
Is there like a rubber guide extension that goes on the side of the plow that, you know, gives you a guideline around those or
that I don't
anything?
Know.
Because you would think there'd be something like that would keep you away from the curb this, you know, a few inches and act as a guide.
I know last year they tried a couple different things. Actually, they bought four new pickups with plows just to do the downtown.
Oh, okay.
But they also had the rubber edges on them, and those didn't pan out. They were changing them halfway through plowing downtown. They did the pull truck off street, put a new rubber end on, and go back. They tried some fiberglass ones. They've gone to a metal one now that's a softer metal, much like we're doing on our big trucks.
Okay.
But I also know that they did, like Mike said, they made some changes this year, and I understand they went to some Bobcat snowblower type things, a little smaller, easier to get around. I haven't had a chance to talk with the DPW.
So they snowblow kind of out first and then plow it?
Well, they blow it out, then they plow it and haul it out.
Okay, that might be a solution. Okay.
I'm thinking that, I haven't had a chance to talk to the DPW director yet about what they're doing or what they did this last year and how it worked out for them. So.
Okay, all right. Thanks.
I got a question for Andy. These new plow extensions, are they effective as far as the asphalt tip-up curbs?
The tip up curb is just a curb that's kind of raised up on an angle for the mm-hmm. most part. I don't think there's anything we could do to, you know, if we got over close to one to help protect one of those, tell you the truth, because they're so low and you're going to catch it with just the corner of the blade, whereas the, you know, the concrete curb comes up on a flat surface, and the way your blade tips down, you've got something on the side of it to help. I'm not so sure there's anything. I haven't seen anything on the market that looked like it would be dependable to help a tip-up curb. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm okay with the curb repair bid from Marshall. Accept the motion.
I move we approve the contract with Marshall Concrete for up to $40,000 and authorize the city manager to sign the required documents.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Sansom?
Aye.
Talon?
Aye.
Gaynor?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Next item on the agenda is an aeration blower purchase. Consider to approve the purchase of a replacement motor for an aeration blower for the wastewater treatment plant from Bridgeway Power in the amount of $3,847.65, and the purchase of a new blower from Kayser in the amount of $49,98.53. And at this time, we'll turn it over to Dan.
Thank you, Mayor. As I've mentioned before and outlined in the memo I prepared for you, we've got presently one blower out at the wastewater plant. We've had two blowers, or two of the new blower packages up there fail this spring. One lost a motor and one lost a compressor. And we basically combined parts between the two of them to rebuild our third unit. So we presently have three of them working and one that needs a total repair replacement. These blowers run two or three at a time, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. They were new when the wastewater plant was built, but it's been 5 to 6 years they've been in operation right now. I've got roughly 36,000 hours on each of those blowers. We've basically been losing some bearings on the ends, and weight of the equipment and the speed that it turns when they come apart, there's not much left. So they're not easy to rebuild. We contacted the state distributor for the blowers. Their initial quotes that I got back were quite high. And I had a discussion with them about that and told them that I probably had to rebuild the packages to see if any of their competitors could get us better prices. They subsequently set back some additional pricing, and the prices I received at that point were just under $5,000, actually $4,998 for replacement blowers compared to $6,617. So getting as good a price as I can get for repair parts. The motor, I got two different quotes for motors. One is a Westinghouse motor. The other is a Toshiba motor, and I'm recommending purchase of the Toshiba. It's a higher efficiency motor, it's a better quality motor, and the price difference includes the price of taking the motor apart, replacing the bearings with heavier-duty bearings, and putting it back together. I've talked to two different motor repair shops. The motors that came with these blowers are European frame. They're packed really tight inside of it, and they use a ball bearing as the load end bearing. The manufacturers of the repair shops are saying they should have either more ball bearings or a rolling bearing. It's basically a flat tube bearing in the thrust end of the motors. So I included that in the Toshiba motor. That's why there's a price difference between the two. The options that we've got are to postpone the repairs or accept the prices and authorize us to complete the repairs as recommended. And there's an unscheduled repair, so the money isn't in the budget. It'll take a budget amendment to do that. But the funds are available in our reserve fund. That's basically what the operational reserve is for. We put money aside into that to cover the major equipment replacement repair. So we have the money available. And I recommend that you purchase the blower from the manufacturer for $4,998.03. And, excuse me, I recommend we buy a replacement motor from Detroit Power in the amount of $3,847.65. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Dennis. Do we have any department heads or staff members wish to comment? Citizens' comments? Board comments? Laura?
Are all these four blowers that we have, they're all the same age?
Correct.
Okay, so the...
Within 6 months.
Okay, but the possibility of the other ones failing sometime in the near future is also pending, isn't it? Couldn't that be?
The motor that I put over into the other unit was sent out. The windings were dipped and the bearings were replaced.
Okay.
So we did that before we moved it over and put it back into operation.
Okay, so what's the average lifespan of these? 5 to 7 years, roughly?
36,000 to 40,000 hours is a lot.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay. All right, so I guess my feeling is that if we have two still that are of the older, you know, the original ones, those two are probably going to go sometime in the near future as well, and we can't be without.
We need to have a minimum of two, and most of the year I run three blowers at a time.
Okay.
That's why there's some difference in the number of hours on the motor. They vary from 29,000 to 36,000. Mm-hmm.
But they're all getting up there, in other words.
We're rotating them, okay. The bearings up there, and we're looking at the monitor, the bearing temperatures and the hours on the equipment. And we're probably going to start about a 4-year cycle and just take the bearings replaced.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, that's about all my questions. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Dan, could you just kind of enlighten me specifically and perhaps others as to what functions the blower does, and if they were all to quit working, what would the possible detriment be?
We operate an area of the lagoon system at the wastewater plant.
Yep.
The time of year and temperature affect how much air we have to feed into the system. You know, one, whether we have to put more into it to maintain the oxygen level in the water. As we put sewage into it or waste into it, bacteria break down the waste and the bacteria use the oxygen in the water. We have to maintain set level in there to keep it operating correctly. Okay. Without the blowers, it'll go septic.
That's all I need to hear right there. We don't want any violations.
Right. I
appreciate the effort you took into negotiating prices. I'm sure there's a lot of municipalities that would have just ordered it up, so I do appreciate that effort. Quick question on the two motors. Are either one of them a brushless design? Do they make brushless that large, or are they both brushed?
They're all brushless.
Okay, okay. I wasn't sure a brushless made it up to that size.
480-volt, three-phase, six-horsepower motors.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Gene?
Well, you've answered most of my questions. I just had one quick one. Maybe you answered it and I missed it. How much longer do you believe the higher cost motor would last?
We had a couple of motors fail under the warranty period when we first put these things into operation. The blower packages are a German manufacturer. The motors were European. They originally came with a Wake motor, it's WVG. And it's not one of the most expensive motors on the market. We had problems with them, and shortly after the black blowers, they were installed up there. Kayser quit using those motors and went to a Siemens electric motor. The Siemens motor is a little bit better quality, but it's still a lower brand motor. And hopefully we go to a better, more premium efficiency motor, we'll get a better life. time out of it. The repair shops I've talked to have both recommended going to a better motor, and that's where the recommendations for the different bearings are coming from. I've got one issue that I don't have settled yet. I've talked to the manufacturer, and I've talked to two different motor shops. These bearings that are in these motors are large. They're an 8-ball ball bearing. One motor repair facility is recommending going to a 16-ball bearing. It's just more contact surface on the face of the bearings. The other one is talking about recommending a roller bearing. There's some concern with using the roller bearing at that RPM with those motors. And I don't know which engineer I want to listen to most. I'm going to do a little bit more research before I go for the bearings. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'm okay with the proposal here and accept the motion.
I move that the commission approve the purchase of a blower from the manufacturer for $4,998.52 plus shipping and replace the motor from Bridgeway Power for $3,847.65.
Second.
Roll call.
Town.
Aye.
Gaylor.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Sansom.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is the picnic table purchase. Consideration to approve the purchase of 10 picnic tables from Belson Outdoors in the amount of $6,320 and authorize the city manager to execute the documents. And again, we'll turn the discussion over to Andy.
I know you're probably getting tired of hearing from me today, man, but this will be the last one I promise for today. As my memo mentions, we were talking about this during the budget review session about the new community goals and upgrading our parks and making things a little more user-friendly in our parks is one of the things we talked about. I checked through the budget, and I do have enough money in the budget to purchase 10 more this year. And you'll see that I had received two bids, one from Belson Outdoors and the other was from Picnic Table Outlet, which is also a commercial site furnishings company. Belson Outdoors is the company we've purchased from in the past. These tables will match exactly what we have, and we've been the lowest bidder every time we've gone out for bids on these. So they're a good quality table. And we do have repair parts in stock that will match what we have and what we would get on this order, too, if we needed them. So, if there's any further questions, be happy to answer.
Thank you. Any staff or department heads wish to make a comment? Citizens wish to make a comment? Commissioners, comments? Gene, would you like to start?
Sure. I do believe we need more tables in our parks so we can utilize them better. I realize you only have two beds here, but was there not any from Michigan? We always push by Michigan.
There are no commercial suppliers of these tables in Michigan that I've been able to find. I mean, I've searched on the internet, and these are the ones that are in the top 10 list that pop up. Okay. These two are on that top 10 list. I haven't seen any down work, but there may be. But again, as far as commercial quality tables, none that I've seen.
Thanks, Andy.
Derek?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Andy, the line item that the money would be coming out of, what is that traditionally used for?
This would be come out of, this year would come out of Parks and Recreation Maintenance.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. And if we purchase those, are you comfortable with the remaining balance for them?
Yes, I made sure that I've got enough cushion left in that account also on top of this purchase to take care of it.
Okay, that's all I have, thanks.
Go on the other way. No, I think we need some additional tables, so I'm all in favor. And I feel like the price is probably real reasonable and it's nice that we have parts in stock that will fit them, so I don't have a problem with that one.
Thank you, Lauren. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it also, and
basically having in the parks to have a Memorial Day.
Yeah, how soon? Soon?
Typically, there's like a 3 to 4 week lead on these to get them. Okay. Right. And we'll do, you know, we'd assemble them ourselves.
Right.
Okay. So we can get them out fairly quick. So.
Good.
Accept the motion to approve.
I move that the City Commission approve the purchase of 10 picnic tables from the low bidder Belson Outdoors of Aurora, Illinois, in the amount of $6,320, and authorize the city manager to sign the required documents. And it'll come out of the Parks and Rec Department.
So. Also good.
Roll call.
Taylor?
Aye.
Grunsch?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Next item on our agenda is the change of meeting date, April 24, 2012, commission meeting time change. To change the regular scheduled meeting of Tuesday, April 24th, 2012, meeting time from noon to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. Does that need a formal motion?
Yes, it does.
Okay, I'll make that motion then that we change the scheduled meeting of Tuesday, the 24th, to 7 p.m.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Grunsch?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaynor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Commissioners, anything for good in the order?
I've got one. I had a citizen stop at my house, and they have a concern, I guess this kind of goes to Andy, with water puddling on the corner of East Lincoln and Allen. I went down and looked at it and at your drain placement. I didn't see anything wrong with that, but where the water was going to be puddling would all be around where their mailbox was. You may know of this.
East Lincoln and Allen, you said?
Yeah.
We really have no storm drain up in that area. That is just
it's just a regular drain.
It's just a sump is all it is.
Right.
And unfortunately, when we have a lot of heavy rains and that soil gets saturated, it takes a long time for that water to go away. We've tried doing some different things, none of which that particular person was happy with, even though one was what they thought we should do. I'll go take another look at it and see what else I can come up with. But yeah, I'm aware of that area up there, Gene. Mm-hmm. And we've tried a couple of different things, but the only thing we may be able to do is put some stock pipe under the ground and try and extend that distance. We could get that drain out into the underground, but until we get storm sewer up in that area, there's not really a whole lot we can do, unfortunately.
Okay, thanks, Andy.
Derek?
I have nothing today.
Laura?
Yeah, I had one resident mention that there's some bad potholes up on West Division, not on the new part of the Division Street, but on the older part that were pretty bad. But I haven't been up there to see.
Yeah, we had the patcher out last week. I'm not sure, late last week or early this week, I'm not sure if they got to all the areas that we needed to get to.
Okay, but they're being, but I figured you were aware of them.
I will
double
check that out.
Yeah, okay.
On both Division Street and on Pleasant, certain areas where we put the some of the capes or some of the road maintenance programs in the last couple of years, the top coat repair surface has not adhered well to the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much, I wouldn't really almost call it a pothole, it's almost kind of like an area where it's delaminated.
Oh, okay.
And you have a stretch where it's down about an inch,
right,
or so,
okay,
where the new pavement just disappeared. That first appeared up on Pleasant, mm-hmm, shortly after they put that work in. I believe that contractor's out of business since then.
Correct.
And I know Andy's been researching different ways to to deal with that problem.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's really, especially over the winter months on, mm-hmm, Division Street, it's really expanded over there. I've had, mm-hmm, some people commented, and I see it every day and
I figured,
to avoid it on my way home. So yeah, Andy and I have talked about that a few times.
I stated too. That. I said I figured somebody in the city hall already knows about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have nothing for good of the order. At this time, our city manager would like to
read a press release.
Thank you, Mayor. Your city manager would prefer not to have to read this press release, but it's an issue that we're dealing with, and I think it's important for the community to be informed about it. We've had a former Boyne City Fire Department officer with over 10 years of service with the department who has been discharged from the department and charged with embezzlement of over $20,000. During the preparation of this year's budget, Fire Chief Amesbury and Assistant Chief Jack Bush discovered excessive expenditures in the fire department's gas and oil account. They requested that the Boyne City Police Department investigate this matter. The investigator quickly pointed to Derby Arley, otherwise known as Buddy Hayden IV, using a department card to fuel private vehicles and containers not associated with the fire department. When confronted with these findings of the investigation, Mr. Hayden admitted what he had done. The matter was then turned over to the Charlotte County Prosecutor's Office, and on February 13th, he was terminated from the Boyne City Fire Department. The investigations found no other persons involved. The embezzlement took place in increasing amounts over several years. The city anticipates and will insist upon full recovery of the stolen amount, either by the suspect or the city's insurance company. Upon discovery of the situation, the city presented it to our auditors, insurance company, attorney, city commission, department heads and employees, and the gas vendor, to make all aware of the matter and to find ways to prevent something like this from happening again. The city is shocked and greatly disappointed that an individual hired to work for and protect the public would end up stealing from it. We as an organization do not tolerate anything that betrays that public trust, especially for personal gain. Despite all our safeguards, this individual found a weakness in our systems and exploited that for his own benefit. His actions are completely contrary to the spirit of public service that the members of our fire department and all city employees demonstrate daily. As devastating as this betrayal is, we will learn from this incident and work to maintain the trust of our citizens, taxpayers, and all those we interact with. Mr. Hayden has been booked, arraigned, and is currently out on bail while awaiting trial.
Unless there's no further discussion, I will call for adjournment. Okay, I'll make a motion that we adjourn at 1:46 p.m.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Gator?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Sampson?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.